Welcome to the Core Principles Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll enjoy this lively discussion of relevant topics, which we attempt to examine through the lens of unchanging, objective truth. Here is the host of the Core Principles Podcast, Clay Howerton.
Thank you, Suzanne. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Well, listeners, I began today's episode of Core Principles with the poem Invictus by William Ernest Henley, because today's special guest transcribed for herself that poem as inspiration while she was being incarcerated as part of an ongoing persecution by tyrannical elements of a government that we respect as generally defenders of liberty. This is a very special episode because our guest is a true champion of liberty and freedom, who has demonstrated courage of an unconquerable soul, and who has truly spoken truth to power at considerable and ongoing cost to herself. I'm honored to welcome to Core Principles one of the leaders of the Canadian Freedom Convoy 2022, the author of a phenomenal new book called Hold the Line, Mrs. Tamara Leach. How are you doing, Tamara?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I'm really thankful for your inspiring book, Hold the Line, and I really want all of our listeners to buy copies for themselves and their friends and family, and I think if they hear just a taste of what you have in store for them in this book, they will want to do so. I've already been recommending it to friends and family and strangers. I met someone recently who needed some inspiration, and I told her, here's the book for you. Hopefully that will be the case with our listeners.
Thank you.
It is also, I want to thank you for your good work in the cause of liberty. Before we begin discussing your book, I want to make a statement to our listeners. I have sometimes given this statement in prior episodes. It's important, particularly today. Listeners, if you share anything from this episode, please remember always to attribute statements only to the one who states them. I will likely say some things during this interview that Mrs. Leach may or may not agree with, but anything I say can only be attributed to me. And remember that all guests speak directly for themselves. And this reminder may have special significance that might become evident throughout this episode. It's always, though, a great practice to make attribution accurately. Now, Tamara Leach, regarding your book, Hold the Line, my first question is an obvious one. Why did you choose to put in the effort and the hard work of writing this book and publishing it at this time?
Primarily because it's such an important story, and it was important to me to get the truth out. I mean, I don't know if you saw our mainstream media up here, but it was just nothing but lies and baseless accusations and insinuations, and really disappointing for us. And not only that, even though this happened in Canada, this is an important story for every country in the world. We experienced the invocation of the Emergencies Act for the first time in history against a very peaceful protest, the freezing of bank accounts, which, you know, was done with no parliamentary oversight, no court order from a judge. Our finance minister was actually giddy when she was doing her press conference about freezing people's bank accounts. And what that did was, imagine being a mom at a grocery store at the checkout and you can't pay for your groceries and you have to leave, or not being able to buy medication for your children, not being able to make your mortgage payment or your child support payment. I mean, if this can happen in Canada, one of the most peaceful and passive countries in the whole world, it can happen anywhere.
Yes, and the catalyst for the Freedom Convoy of Canadian Truckers was obviously this ongoing overreach of Justin Trudeau's government against the Canadian people. And it related primarily, listeners, I'm sure you're aware of this, of the mandates and restrictions he imposed in response to COVID. What were some of the worst overreaches? You've mentioned freezing accounts of people who spoke out or didn't do what he demanded. What were other overreaches that made a lot of Canadians decide enough is enough?
Well, the catalyst was when he tried to impose the trucker mandate, which was going to stop the truckers from crossing the border without a vax pass. And if they did, they were going to have to quarantine for 14 days. So if you're a trucker, say in Windsor, Ontario, and you have to do runs every day to, say, Detroit or somewhere across the line, you know, you can't afford to not work for 14 days. So this wasn't just a one-time thing. This was every time they crossed the border to come into Canada. And so some of the things that we experienced here in Canada were, you know, people weren't allowed to see their parents in long-term care facilities or in the hospitals. Fathers weren't allowed in the birthing rooms when their mother, when, you know, the mother was giving birth, their wife was giving birth. We had, well, of course, our lockdowns, the kids weren't allowed in school. We weren't allowed in restaurants. And then as the 2021 election started, our prime minister called people who were not vaccinated racist, misogynist, and he asked if we should be tolerated. And I take a very, I take very much offense to that. I am of Métis heritage, and I believe if you lead a country, you don't get to pick and choose who you lead. And I said this to Chris Barber when we were on our way to Canada. I said, fundamentally, in my opinion, a leader has two jobs: protect the rights and freedoms of your people and unite your people. And I said, right now, we're doing his job. And so when the trucker mandate was imposed, Chris Barber had put out a TikTok video. Of course, I had been watching all of this with absolute horror of what was going on in my country and to my people. And I reached out to him and I said, I introduced myself. I said, my strengths, my gifts, my background is logistics, organization, and administration. I said, you're going to need social media and you're going to need some funding. What can I do to help you? And it just took off like wildfire from there.
Yes. You mentioned something that Prime Minister Trudeau had said, and I had him on audio on this program, an episode I did earlier called O Canada. I want to get to that specific ridiculous claim he made about racism and misogyny. It can't possibly apply to the circumstance. But before getting to that part, I want to point out something about what comes through to me as a reader of your book. You demonstrate courage and humility, but also grace towards others. One of the people who got the Freedom Convoy inspired and declared enough is enough and started some of this activity, later turned against you in what seems like a really horrifically vindictive fashion. Mm. But you say this about her. I'm not going to mention her name, but just call her she. You said, I will always admire her for what she did. She deserves 100% credit for the stand she took. It was brave, it was beautiful, and it was the beginning of a revolution. And after what you've been put through, which we're going to talk about and listeners should read about in detail and Hold the Line, how do you find the grace to say such things about someone who is determined to make you suffer?
Well, I pray for her a lot. And, you know, for me, this was never about the glory. This was never about the credit. This was about my country, you know, and I never imagined that I would become the face of this movement. And we can't win this battle with hatred and division and anger. That was always my message in every video that I did. And I just, it's not who I am. I, you know, lots of people will even ask, how do you stay so positive and cheery? And I say, well, what are my options? I mean, I can be miserable and depressed and frustrated and angry, but again, that isn't who I am. I believe we all had a purpose here, and we can't win this by furthering division.
Well, amen to that. Well, getting to Trudeau, I consider him a tyrant. Those are my words, listeners. It was ridiculous when he said that people who oppose his mandates are racist, misogynistic, and shouldn't be tolerated, that the views were unacceptable. I'm certain that race and gender have nothing to do with whether one supports a one-size-must-fit-all approach to medical products such as messenger RNA. But I'm also certain that it's unbecoming of a leader in a free country like Canada to call views about mandates unacceptable. But Justin Trudeau remains prime minister. I wanted to ask you, how has he maintained that role in your great country? Are there enough members of parliament to stand up against his actions that violate the Canadian Charter of Freedoms and Rights, which ironically were signed by Pierre Elliott Trudeau just over 40 years ago?
Well, the leader of our NDP party up here, which is one of our other federal parties, very left-leaning, is propping up his government. He's basically gotten involved in a coalition with him. So, you know, and which means that if they try to pass, say, a vote of non-confidence, which is the only way we can trigger an election mid-cycle, they have so many votes with the Liberals plus the NDP that they just can't, the Conservative Party can't beat them. The other thing that's important to note, and I'm not sure if you're following it right now, but we have a big problem with Chinese interference. Our prime minister right now is doing everything he can to try to avoid a public inquiry. And so it makes you wonder, now that all this is coming to light, how did he end up getting elected again? I can tell you myself, I don't know a single person that voted for him. And of course, you know, the majority did not vote Liberal last time. But, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, now that all this Chinese interference information is coming out, exactly how he is still there.
It does. And I've wondered the same about our elections. Listeners of this program know that I spoke about it in November 2020. We might get to a parallel later in the program if we have time. But among those fundamental freedoms in the Charter, I wanted to quote for the listeners one of the beautiful passages of that charter, the English version, not the French version. They say the same thing. I know you've started studying French. That was a very gracious way to conclude your book. It says, everyone has the following freedoms: freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication, freedom of peaceful assembly, and freedom of association. Now, I know from reading Hold the Line that the Canadian government has violated every single one of those principles, even as relates to the Canadian citizen named Tamara Leach. Now, do you have confidence that the Canadian people will defend these fundamental freedoms against encroachments like Justin Trudeau has been doing?
Well, I guess up until the convoy, I didn't have a lot of hope. But what I saw was the majority of Canadians that came out and lined the side of the roads and the overpasses and, you know, had bonfires in the ditches for us and the streets and the cities. And I mean, the donations themselves, you know, raising $10 million twice in donations tells me that we are not a fringe minority. The Liberal government, in their wildest dreams, has never raised $10 million twice. I think they will. I mean, I look at what the convoy exposed as kind of the Great Awakening, because it did open a lot of eyes. The media, the banking system, corporations like GoFundMe, and of course, the government itself. So I do believe that Canadians will fight for their rights, you know, and be more vocal now than they ever were before.
Well, speaking of that funding, and you mentioned GoFundMe, could you explain briefly what happened with GoFundMe all the way to the point of where they're attempting to confiscate donations?
Yes. Well, we started the campaign, obviously. And when it came time to start releasing some of the donations, they would send me, say, like an email with three questions on it. And I would answer those three questions. And then I'd get an email back with five questions. And then myself or somebody on the committee would answer those questions. And then seven questions would come back. So after a few days of this, it became very apparent that GoFundMe was dragging their feet. And I was absolutely sure that they were getting pressure. And we did find out later that, yes, people were emailing them saying that we were a terrorist organization and all this nonsense. When we got to Ottawa, the night before they froze it, we had a meeting with GoFundMe with our lawyers and our accountant, and with GoFundMe and some of their lawyers were in there too. And we left that meeting and everybody was happy. You know, we thought we had everything all settled. They were happy with our answers and confident that we were going to use the money as it was intended for. And the next morning we got up and found out that they had stopped our campaign because the city of Ottawa and the Ottawa City Police contacted them and said that we were a terrorist group and, you know, committing crimes. And let me tell you, the crime rate actually in Ottawa dropped while we were there the entire time. And so from that point, then, obviously, they did release $1 million into my account, which I'd set up to go into a personal savings account of mine because this was my first rodeo. I wasn't sure what I was doing. So it had been set up to go into my account. They seized it almost immediately. And that's now sitting in an escrow account.
And it had been your intention, of course, to, as you later did, establish an account for the organization that you had no idea was going to get that much support.
Well, and here's the thing, the accountant that we had actually tried, like started the process of opening a bank account for us at the end of January. And so TD Bank was also dragging their feet. It doesn't take 2 weeks to open a bank account.
Right.
At least it's never taken me 2 weeks to open a bank account. And so, and then, of course, we found out that, you know, TD Bank was more than happy to freeze all of our accounts. And so the exposure of the banking system was quite alarming to me. Very alarming.
Well, let's talk about the convoy itself for a moment. Again, listeners, buy the book Hold the Line by Tamara Leach. We can't even scratch the surface in this interview, but this thing reads like an exciting adventure novel. You're going to be amazed and inspired by this great new book. Tamara, what were some of the ways that Trudeau tried to avoid the message of the Freedom Convoy and ways that he tried to mischaracterize what you all were about?
Yes. Well, right out of the gate, of course, he called us racists, which I totally knew that was coming. I watched him use that playbook since the day he was elected, basically. So we started right out of the gate calling us a bunch of names. As we were driving towards Ottawa, he all of a sudden, although he was triple jabbed at that time, he said he'd come into contact with somebody who had COVID, so we had to go into quarantine. And then he was skirted out of Ottawa for his own safety, is what we were told. We found out later he was skiing in the Laurentians, obviously terrified. You know, who does that? What leader leaves something like that, like for somebody else to clean up, basically, you know? So, and then of course, his famous video where he called us a fringe minority with unacceptable views. And he was definitely colluding with the mainstream media. I mean, we heard them say that, accuse us of being infiltrated by the Russians, right? That's the other go-to that they have. And same in your country. Ooh, the Russians are coming. So scary. And they also accused us of taking money from foreign entities, which is quite ironic because our Liberal government hired the biggest racist on the planet to write their anti-racism policy. It's been revealed now that the Trudeau Foundation was taking money from the Chinese government. And we are now finding out about the Chinese interference. So, you know, there's the saying, when you point fingers at someone, there's three more pointing back at you.
Yes, indeed. And that's another parallel between Canada and the United States. And you mentioned in your book, Hold the Line, that the forces, and that parallel, by the way, listeners, if you're not up on current events, is that President Biden, in quotes, is absolutely guilty of bribery and is tied with, financially, our worst enemies. Anyway, that's another topic for another day. But in Hold the Line, you talk about how the forces in Trudeau's government were trying to draw parallels between your Freedom Convoy 2022 and, in the United States, in our capital, the events of January 6, 2021. And I would point out that the key parallel is that in both of those activities, the visible bad actors were almost entirely not supporters of the causes being upheld. And perhaps in our country, the most noteworthy case thus far involving January 6 in D.C. is something called Proud Boys. All people know about them is they're a bunch of hooligan, miscreant, bad actors. But we found out at trial that at least 73% of the people identified as Proud Boys were federal agents trying to create a false impression. The actual United States citizens who assembled that day were peaceful. They were justified in their cause to uphold the need for free and fair elections. It's a legitimate concern. And in the case of the Canadian Freedom Convoy, the truckers and the supporters were also peaceful. I know this. And they were justified in the defense of liberty. One size cannot fit all in a response to a medical situation. But Trudeau wasn't going to stand for any defense of freedom. And so he went to an extreme measure, Tamara Leach. Were you shocked that Trudeau used the Emergencies Act? And what should listeners know about how significant that was?
I was extremely shocked. I couldn't believe it. All I saw on those streets was love, hugs, people just so happy to be together again and standing together very peacefully and respectfully, I might add, against their government. And you're right. They tried to frame us as January 6th style insurrectionists before I even met Chris Barber. The evidence that came out at the public inquiry that we had last fall showed text messages between the PMO and the public safety office and the media trying to frame us as January 6th style insurrectionists. It just came out last week from BlackRock's that the Public Safety Canada had issued an internal statement to federal government employees saying that we were entering federal buildings and causing damage, which was a bold-faced lie. So they crafted this entire narrative about us before I even met Chris Barber in person, which is pretty scary. And same with what happened, you know, with you guys on the States. I mean, I have friends that were in the Capitol on January 6th, and they say it was nothing like what we saw in the media. But Trudeau so desperately wanted to invoke the act. They tried to provoke us at every single turn. They threatened, they came in and raided our fuel and our firewood and food one night at Coventry. They had snipers on the building. And they were talking about invoking the act at the very early onset of the convoy. But not only that, more alarming that our prime minister wanted to invoke the Emergencies Act at the beginning of the pandemic, because that was going to give him free spending with no parliamentary oversight, period, total control. And he wanted that until I believe it was the end of 2021. So for a year and a half, he just wanted to do whatever he wanted, spend whatever he wanted. And so the significance of this act is that it had never been invoked before. It used to be called the War Measures Act, which is what his father had invoked in the 1983 October crisis. And it was stunning, because, again, we were so peaceful and there was so much love there. And for him to come in with the jackboots like that and you know, violently take down these peaceful Canadians was heartbreaking.
So it was pretty clear to you that they were going to arrest the organizers, and they were going to arrest you. And I mentioned at the start that you're someone who truly speaks truth to power, Tamara Leach. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to quote something that you said shortly before they arrested you on a charge called mischief. Here's a quote. "Now I want to address the Prime Minister. No matter what you do, we will hold the line. There are no threats that will frighten us. We will hold the line. Love will always defeat hate. Hold the line," unquote. And they did arrest you for exercising your fundamental freedoms and rights guaranteed in the Charter. And they continue to pursue a charge against you called mischief. And listeners, I remind you of attribution. Nothing I say is coming out of her mouth. During your nearly 50 days in pretrial incarceration, you encountered an official named Robert, who's from Poland. And in your book, you talk about how Robert inspired you to hold on. Could you share with our listeners a little bit about how Robert encouraged you?
I told him that day that he was an angel sent from God for me. The day that I met Robert was the day that I was denied bail by a justice of the peace who I found out before we got into that line of work was a purchasing agent for Parks Canada. He had absolutely no legal background whatsoever. And it was really tough to sit through that. He was comparing me to violent criminals. He was comparing my mischief charge, which in Canada, I'm not sure about the United States, but in Canada, mischief is akin to spray painting graffiti on a public wall. And wanted me incarcerated. He was threatening like 10 years, you're going to do 10 years in prison. And so I was okay with going back to jail. I was obviously disappointed. I went back down to the bottom of the courthouse where the cells were, and there was this gentleman standing there at the door waiting for me. And as I got closer, he kind of tipped his glasses down and he said, "I just want you to know that it breaks my heart that you're here." And throughout the day, he told me that him and his family had fled Poland. They were refugees that had fled Poland, come to Canada. And so he, like so many immigrants that were on the ground there, you know, just as an aside, but lots of Canadians, they were happy and jubilant and just, it was celebratory, but it was the immigrants that had this look of desperation in their eyes when they came and talked to me. And he told me, you know, that he was praying for me and his whole church was praying for me. He put my handcuffs on and again said, "It breaks my heart that I have to do this." As we got to the detention center, I couldn't believe it. It was a beautiful July day. All of a sudden, the door to my transport, it opens and the sunshine comes in, and it was so beautiful. And they took off my handcuffs and we just sat there and talked. And another, his partner came by. And then it was kind of funny because we probably were sitting there waiting for about 15 minutes and they came and closed the door. And we got inside the detention center, but they'd forgotten to put my handcuffs on. So when his partner came by the side and opened my door, I was, you know, it sounds funny, but I was like, "Excuse me, sir, please put my handcuffs back on. I don't want you guys to get in trouble." And he just, you know, "Thank you." He said, "Thank you." And they put me in. And as we were walking back into the detention center and I was going back to my cell, he thanked me. He thanked me again for his family and his children and their future. And I said, "No, Robert, thank you, because you were an angel sent from God for me today." And I worked out hard in jail every chance I got. And I, every day when I was doing push-ups or running in the yard, I always thought of Robert, and he kept me strong. I was like, I'm doing this for Robert, you know?
Well, God bless Robert from Poland. Well, listeners, you've surely discovered by listening to her that Tamara Leach is not only a woman of humility and grace, but also a woman of courage. And as she notes, courage is not the absence of fear. There will be fearful things and consequences and circumstances that we face, but she proceeds boldly. And here's something else. I'm going to quote one more thing that she says in her great new book, Hold the Line. I love this so much. This is after that they have done so much to her and against her, and they have a lot of great power over her. But she says, "I was done with their intimidation tactics. They, the powerful government of Canada, had lost their power over me. I firmly believe this entire thing was guided by God, and if God wasn't finished with me yet, there was more I needed to do, and being prison was part of it, then that's what I need to do." Unquote. Now, so that is really inspiring, Tamara, and I thank you for it. And the last question I want to ask you is about inspiration and encouragement, particularly for our listeners and for hopefully readers of your book. Both Canada and the United States are nations that love liberty, but both Canada and the United States now have powerful elements in central government that oppose liberty and are getting more aggressive against people who would defend it. And as we close our interview, could you offer some encouragement to our listeners about the future of our nations and how we can and will defend liberty?
Yes. Well, as the saying goes, freedom isn't free. And we, the people, must be vigilant, and we must continue to hold our officials to account. We must demand that they answer their questions, and they have to be accountable for what they've done. I'm just here to say, don't give up. I'm a 50-year-old granny from Alberta, you know, and I got together with a bunch of blue-collar heroes, as far as I'm concerned, and we changed the world.
Yes,
unintentionally, but we changed the world. And again, if it can happen in Canada, you know, it can happen anywhere. And don't give up. just don't give up and be vigilant.
Well, thank you so much. The book is Hold the Line. The author is Tamara Leach. She is a champion. God bless Canada and God bless you, Tamara.
Thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Core Principles Podcast is produced in Paducah, Kentucky by Real Productions. Music is by Late July, L-E-I-G-H-T July. You can find her music on all streaming services or at latejuly.com. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of the Core Principles Podcast. Please visit core.buzzsprout.com for more information. And please share with your friends. We look forward to visiting with you again on our next episode.